Morning. Today's daf Shabbos Kuf Lamed Beis. We are here in the 19th parak of Masechet Shabbos. We are discussing the mitzvah of milah. The reason why it comes up here in Masechet Shabbos is because we talked about the interplay between the mitzvah of milah and the requirement to be shomer Shabbos. So the mitzvah of milah, by definition, is going to be a violation of Shabbos. It inflicts a chabura. A chabura is a malacha. It's not one of the 39 malachas, but it fits into one of the 39 malachas. A little bit later in the parak, we're going to be discussing precisely which malacha it falls under. But nevertheless, the mitzvah of milah and the shmirah Shabbos is going to collide into one another. And what happens when it does? So the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak, back in Kuf Lamed, so it told us that the mitzvah of milah is going to be overriding Chilul Shabbos. To be a little bit more precise, the Mishnah assumes that we know that information. Meaning the Mishnah assumes that that's already a given. And then it becomes a question of, okay, the milah itself is doches the Shabbos. What about machshirei milah? What about all the preparatory stages? Can that override the Shabbos? And that is the machlokas between the Tanaim. It's the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. We have been spending some quality time with Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. And later in today's daf, let's do that better. Later in tomorrow's daf, we are going to be discussing whether or not the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. And to give away tomorrow's daf, the answer is no. The halacha does not fall like Rabbi Eliezer. But still, as part of Torah's concern, as far as Talmud Torah's concern, he's part and parcel of the Mesorah, and he's part of the corpus of halacha, and so therefore the Gemara spends a good amount of time discussing his viewpoint. In the course of yesterday's daf, we went through the various sources for the shita of Rabbi Eliezer that Machshirei Milah is going to be Doche Shabbos. According to Rabbi Eliezer, not only is that true regarding Machshirei Milah, it's true by other mitzvahs as well. What other mitzvahs are included in that? So yesterday we went through a total of, let's call it, six other mitzvahs. On the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, on Kuf Amud Beis, we spoke that according to Rabbi Eliezer, not only is Machshirei Milah Doche Shabbos, but Machshirei Lulav. That means to say that if you didn't pick out the Lulav before Shabbos and Sukkot coincide, and you didn't pick the Lulav up before Shabbos, in other words, you didn't pluck it out from the ground, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to do so. Machshirei Sukkah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could build the Sukkah on Shabbos, meaning if Shabbos and Sukkot coincides and you haven't built your Sukkah yet, you build it on Shabbos. Machshirei Matzah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you bake the matzah even on Shabbos. Machshirei Shofar, if the horn was not detached off the animal before Rosh Hashanah, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, you may do so on Shabbos. And in just a moment, we're going to be going back to Machshirei Milah. But before I get to Machshirei Milah, that covers four. And if you go back to yesterday's daf on the Amud Aleph, I'm working a little bit backwards. So on the Amud Aleph, we also spoke about the mitzvahs of the Ksiras HaOmer and the Shtei Alechem. Ksiras HaOmer, Shtei Alechem. So Machshirim also going to be Doche. Now, as I pointed out yesterday, when it comes to the mitzvah of Ksiras HaOmer, so that everyone agrees to. Ksiras HaOmer, the fact that you harvest on Shabbos itself, meaning if the second day of Pesach, if the 16th day of Nisan falls down on Shabbos, so you're harvesting on the night prior, which is Friday night, so that's the mitzvah in the Torah. That everyone agrees to. So really, the truth of the matter is that there's one area in Shabbos where Chachamim agree to Rabbi Eliezer that Machshir are going to be Doche. That's a mitzvah of Ksiras HaOmer. Okay, but then Rabbi Eliezer also extends it to the Shtei Alechem as well. If the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos is not baked before Shavuos, and if Shavuos and Shabbos coincide, so you bake it on Shabbos. In other words, it's going to override the Shabbos. So, okay, so I count six, but of the six that I counted, Ksiras HaOmer is the Devar HaMuskam, it's agreed to by everybody. So these are the areas in Halacha where Rabbi Eliezer says that the Machshirei Mitzvah are going to be Doche Es HaShabbos. The Gemara in yesterday's daf also told us that this is not a universal for Rabbi Eliezer. In order for Rabbi Eliezer to arrive at this position, you need a drasha. In yesterday's daf, we went through every one of these mitzvahs and we cited a drasha for every one of these mitzvahs. What is not included according to Rabbi Eliezer? So that was also yesterday's daf, and that was the mitzvah of tzitzis and the mitzvah of mezuzah. The mitzvah of tzitzis and mezuzah, which obviously apply on Shabbos. On Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis. On Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to have a mezuzah, like all other times as well. It's a mitzvah called shaita v'shaita at every single time. That's the Gemara's language yesterday. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, these are not included in his heter machshirei milah. Now, why? So, as we pointed out yesterday, because there's no drasha, and also, the Gemara points out there's a svara as well. And Tosos, we discussed the Tosos briefly yesterday, says, well, once there's no drasha, I don't need a svara. But the Gemara works with both. The fact that, A, there's an absence of a drasha, and B, also there's a svara where these are not to be included in the heter of Machshirei Mitzvah. That is all what we covered over the past couple of days. We're going to pick it up right where we left off. We are on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So, Mila, the last two lines. So, in order for the Shita of Rabbi Elazar to be Machshir, to be Matir the Machshir, so you need a source. So, where's the source for Mila? In other words, that's obviously where this whole discussion started, but the Gemara just kind of worked its way backwards, meaning it went through the other mitzvos, and now we're going back to the mitzvah of Machshirin. So, Mila v'chol Machshir Adochan is a Shabbat Ziv Rabbi Eliezer, and Nale le Rabbi Elazar Ha. So how does Rabbi Elazar know this information? Imi kulu gamar kedamrina. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's a binyanah from any of the other mitzvahs. Meaning, go back to any of the mitzvahs that we learned yesterday, lulav sukkah, matzah shofar, and maybe it's learned from any one of those. The Gemara says, no, it can't, because if you recall, but going back to yesterday's daf, each one of them has a unique characteristic. With the Gemara pointed out, as we went through every mitzvah, the mitzvah of lulav, unique characteristic, dalaminim. In other words, they have four components to it that are ma'akiv zezeh. The mitzvah of sukkah, laila v'yom. The sukkah is done during the day and night. That's unique. That's a unique characteristic. The mitzvah of matzah applies to both men and women. That's a unique characteristic. The mitzvah of shofar, so interesting. The Gemara said yesterday, shofar is also very unique. On Rosh Hashanah, a shofar does something which is uncharacteristic. It happens by no other mitzvah. It brings our zichronos in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. Also on Yovel, where we blow the shofar. We unfortunately nawadays don't. But Bizman, Beis HaMikdash, where they were counting the Yovel, so every 50 years, so that we'd be blowing shofar on Yom Kippur. This is Tkiyah Shofar Yom Kippur on Yovel. So there, that also has unique characteristics, aside from the fact that it's only done once every 50 years. But that has unique characteristics in that, that allows the Avadim, the Eved Ivri, to go back to become an independent. And it allows ancestral fields to go back to its original owners. So that also has a unique characteristic. So to which now the Gemara says, so for all these mitzvahs that we cited yesterday, and even though according to Rabbi Eliezer, we have a source for all those mitzvahs, but they all have unique characteristics, and they don't then, can't inform us about the mitzvah of Mila. Va'od, and on top of that, continuing in the Gemara now as we turn to the top of Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Malahanach Shekein Im Avriz Mana Batla. Also, when it comes to all the mitzvahs that we described up until now, Lulav, Sukkah, Matzah, Shofar, so let's say you don't do the mitzvah on Shabbos. So that's it. It's a lost opportunity. That's not true when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila. The mitzvah of Mila, so you don't do it on the eighth day. So you know what you have? It's called the ninth day. It's called the tenth day. Meaning the mitzvah is still going to present itself. So we can't learn out from any of the other mitzvahs. Elahainu tamid the Rabbi Elazar, damakro, v'yamashmina, yimol basar laso, v'afilu b'shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer has a drasha, obviously. In other words, that was the whole point of yesterday's daf. So Rabbi Eliezer has a drasha. The pasuk says, "Uvayama shmini yomol b'sar laso." You must do it on the eighth day. V'afilu b'Shabbos, and it's going to be true even if it's Shabbos. Now, isn't this pasuk telling us about the mitzvah of Mila itself? Remember, what we're learning right now is a source that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, machshirei Mila are going to be dochet for Shabbos. So Rashi points out over here, Umila Gufa Didakh Shabbos, Amin Lakam and Halach Lamosha Misinai. So Yasrale Biyom Lamakshireha. So the Gemara is going to say it, but Rashi over here previews, and that is that, well, the mitzvah of Mila itself, that comes from a different source. Rashi over here cites Halach Lamosha Misinai. We're gonna come back to that in just a moment. But Rashi says Halach Lamosha Misinai, so the fact that the Mila itself is overriding Shabbos, that's already a given. That we know because of Halach Lamosha Misinai. Now, when we have a drasha, so the drasha obviously is adding to that. And what it's adding to is the idea of machshirin. So the Gemara says, okay, so why doesn't now the mitzvah of Mila become the source, according to Rabbi Eliezer? Let that serve as a binyan of. And then we wouldn't need a drasha by any of the other mitzvahs like we saw yesterday. So the Gemara says, no, the mitzvah of Mila also has a unique characteristic, and that is 13 brisos. There are 13 covenants that are ratified over the mitzvah of Mila. You go through the parsha of Lech Lecha when the mitzvah of Mila is first presented. So there you're going to see that the word bris is used 13 times. There are 13 different covenants, or it is reinforced one over the other, however is the right way to say it. But nevertheless, the idea is that this is something so unique and such an expression of a way of how we ratified with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore it's something that does not translate over to other mitzvos. Adkan, that brings us now to the end of the sugya regarding the sourcing of the mitzvos of Machshirin vis-a-vis the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And now what we do is we get to now come back to the basics, and that is that the mitzvah of Mila itself is overriding the Shabbos. Continuing the Gemara, Ad kan lo pligi rabban ela b'machshirei Mila. So the machlokus that our Mishnah opened up with here in the 19th parak of Shabbos is that there is a machlokus, but that's only regarding machshirin. Ava Mila gufa divrei hakol docha Shabbos. The mitzvah of Mila itself is going to be overriding the Shabbos minalan. And the Gemara's question over here is very simple and really basic, and that is, how do I know that the mitzvah of Mila overrides the Shabbos? Meaning, if we weren't given this information, so we could have made the following argument. Look, obviously the eighth day is the time to do the mitzvah of Mila. On the other hand, it's Shabbos. The mitzvah of Mila is a violation of Shabbos. So, without a drasha, what one could have simply argued is, let's just simply postpone the Mila till tomorrow. The mitzvah is still going to present it there. Yes, we have this idea of Zriza Matim La Mitzvah. You should do the mitzvah as early as possible. But if there's a counter consideration, obviously you go with it. Shabbos is a very serious counter consideration. So without a drasha, you could have easily said postpone the Mila. But that's not the halacha. And it is unanimous. Everyone is in agreement that the mitzvah of Mila is overriding the Shabbos. But how do we know this? Where's the source for this? And what the Gemara now is going to be doing on today's Amud Aleph is it's going to be going through the source of this halacha, that Mila is docha Shabbos, that the actual Mila itself overrides the Shabbos. That's Amud Aleph of today's daf. Amud Beis is that Mila is docha Tzaras, that Mila is going to override the Isser of Tzaras, but that's the Amud Beis. First, let's get through the Amud Aleph. How many sources is the Gemara going to present? Four possible sources, meaning the Amorayim, and there's going to be also, we're going to quote Brises as well, but the Amorayim are going to present four different possible sources. Eventually, the Gemara is going to land on its, quote-unquote, on its preferred one, but there are at least four possibilities. So we start with number one, Amar Ula Halacha. So Ula starts off by saying it's Halacha. Now, when he says Halacha, what he means is Halacha Moshe Misinai. Now, that's what Rashi quoted at the top of the Amud, the Shita of Ula, that it is not sourced in the Torah, it's not a Pasuk, it's not a Drasha, just simply part of Torah's Moshe. Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, and with him he comes with the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. Some of Torah Shebaal Peh is just simply not connected to Torah Shebichsav in that it does not have a pasuk. It's just simply Halacha Moshe Misinai. This is part of the Mesorah. This is part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And so what you have over here, according to Ula, is that the fact that Mila is going to be overriding the Shabbos is part of Halacha Moshe Misinai. And this is the Shita of Ula, V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak Halacha. Rav Yitzchak also says in agreement with Ula, that's Halacha Moshe Misinai, Meisvei. Now the Gemara is going to be challenging this based on the following. We have over here Tosefta. Minayin l'pikuach nefesh shedochas haShabbos. How do I know that pikuach nefesh is going to be overriding Shabbos? Person's life's in jeopardy, and so that person now is to override Shabbos, is to violate Shabbos in order to preserve his life. How do we know this? Now this should sound like a familiar question, meaning, if you've gone through Gemara, if you've gone through Shah, so you probably heard the Gemara ask this question once or twice before. The conclusion is always the same. The conclusion is that Pekuach Nefesh Dochas HaShabbos. What probably may confuse us just a little bit is that the Gemara does not always give one answer to this question. The Gemara gives multiple responses to this question, so there is not one way to attack this conundrum of what do you do if your life is in jeopardy and it's Shabbos. But we always arrive at the same point, which is, you're docha Shabbos, you violate the Shabbos. That's a given. But how do I know that? So here in this Tosefta, so the Tosefta is going to go about it in a really interesting argument, which is, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Ma'amila, Shehi Achas, Me'evar, Shal Adam, Dochas HaShabbos, Kavachom, Lepikuch Nefesh, Shedochas HaShabbos. So there is a Kavachom, or constructed argument of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, which is, look, if Mila overrides the Shabbos, which is only one limb of your body, so then pikuach nefesh, which is in your entire body, should for sure override the Shabbos. Okay, that's a kavachomer, that's what's called an argument. Now, if you think about the argument for a moment, it is a little bit difficult to try to work out the logic of that argument. Meaning the mitzvah of Mila, right, are you saving the limb? You're doing the mitzvah of Mila, you're cutting off a piece of the skin. The idea that this is called pikuach nefesh for one limb, it's a little bit difficult, it's challenging, to try to formulate the exact logic, the nature behind this argument. But nevertheless, let's just right now deal with the fact that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah sees this as a kavachomer, and let's just say it out one more time. So if I'm allowed to override Shabbos with one limb, so certainly I'm allowed to override Shabbos with your whole body. If your whole body's in jeopardy, if you are in critical condition, so then you violate Shabbos in order to violate. This is a kavachomer argument of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Now here, it gets interesting. Now this idea, in other words, the starting point of the kavachomer is that Mila overrides the Shabbos. So, if Ula is right and Rav Yitzchak is right, and we're looking at over here, Alacha Moshe Misinai, Kal V'Chomer Me'Alacha Mi'Asi, that's not how a Kal V'Chomer works. A Kal V'Chomer cannot be based off a Halacha Moshe Misinai. Now, we will discuss that point better in just a moment, but let's just first establish that this is in fact so, that you cannot make a Kal V'Chomer based on a Halacha Moshe Misinai. V'Atanya, the Gemara says, what will consider the following. Meaning, we're just going to prove right now that this is not an acceptable way to darshan. I'm a low Rebbe Lazar, Akiva, etzim kisar, metame halacha, v'rivi esdam kavachomer, vein dan kavachomer mi halacha. Let's take a look at another exchange that takes place between Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah and Rebbe Akiva, and that is regarding a nazir. Now, regarding a nazir, so the discussion comes under, and the question comes as follows. A nazir, if he becomes tamei, so what does he have to do? All the days that he counted as being a nazir, they all fall off. He's got to start his count again. First, he has to become tahor, and then he has to start counting again. Now, in terms of tumah, is that true by all tumah? No, it's not true by all tumah. It's specifically tumas meis. That means to say that if the nazir comes into contact with tumas meis, then he's got to restart again. If, however, the nazir, let's say, was a zav or a mitzara, so that does not affect his counting of nazirus. Now, when we say tumas meis, what kind of tumas meis are we talking about? So, we know that etzem kisaora, that a chip of bone, of human bone. So, if a person comes into contact with it, the size of a saora, the size of a barley bean. So, the halacha is that now you are tame. It's only metame b'maga, uvemasa. It's not metame b'ohel, but nevertheless, you're tame. If the nazir comes into contact with etzem kisaora, so does that now require a reboot? The answer is yes. How do I know that? That is halacha l'moshe misinai. It is not clear in the Torah that that's so. But that is halach l'moshe misinai. Now, what Rabbi Akiva wants to do is make the following kal v'chomer. This is all background. Everything I'm saying right now is in Rashi. I'm just simply saying the Rashi outside. Now, what Rabbi Akiva wants to do is make the following kal v'chomer. If a person has to reboot his nazirus for coming into contact with etzem, with just the bone of human remains, so now imagine if he came into contact with revi'ez dam. Revi'ez dam, a quarter of a log of blood of human remains, so that's metame b'maga, uvemasa, uveohel. That's even more tumas meis. So, Rabbi Kiva's argument is, if you're required to reboot your nazirus for etzem kisaora, for sure you're required to reboot your nazirus if you come into contact with revi'ez dam. It seems to be an extraordinarily strong kal v'chomer. To which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, it is a strong kal v'chomer, but it's not a good one. Because what's the starting point? The starting point is etzem kisaora. Etzem kisaora, that's halacha l'moshe misinai. You can't construct a kal v'chomer based on halacha l'moshe misinai. So we've just established, and Rabbi Kiva doesn't respond, meaning it seems to be that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position is an accepted viewpoint. So now it comes out that you can't build a kal v'chomer on top of a halacha l'moshe misinai. Take a look at Rashi. At the end of the Rashi, which I mostly paraphrased, but if you look at the last lines of Rashi, Rashi writes over here, "Ein dan kal v'chomer mehalacha, d'lo nitna torsh ba'peh, lidarish b'yugim omidos." So Rashi writes over here something really fundamental, and that is that as far as darshaning the Torah using the 13 principles, the 13 yugim omidos shatar nidreshes b'hem, as introduced to us by Rabbi Yishmael, so Rashi says that only can be applied to psukim. Torah ba'peh, which is of course part and parcel of the Torah, but the Yud Gimel Midos were not meant, they were not designed to operate on the Halacha L'moshe Misinai, that's not part and parcel of Torah Shebichsav. Yud Gimel Midos, as a system, is only there to affect and influence only Psukim in the Torah. That's the way Rashi says it. Rashi sounds like he's making a really strong statement. Ein dan kal v'chomer melacha delonina Torah Shebapel lidarsh b'Yud Gimel Midos. Rashi says it's not just Kal V'Chomer. It's any of the Yud Gimel Midos. Now, for many of them, we would have figured that out anyway. Meaning, Gzeirah Shavah, obviously, you need a pasuk. You need words in the Torah in order to see a Gzeirah Shavah. So we would have guessed it by Gzeirah Shavah. But even some of the other areas of Halacha, Binyan Av, right? Binyan Av doesn't necessarily need a pasuk. Rashi sounds like for all Yud Gimel Midos of the Torah, you only can use it for Psukim in the Torah. You cannot use it for part and parcel of Torah Shabbat Peh. Anyway, comes out now that this is established, and what that now does is it presents a significant problem. Because Ula and Rav Yitzchak says, what's the source that Milas Dochas HaShabbos Halacha Moshe Mitzinai? The Gemara says, yeah, but that's true. Rav Elazar ben Azariah can't build a Kav HaChomer on top of that, and meanwhile he does. The question was, how do I know Pikuach Nefesh is going to override Shabbos? Ah, Kav HaChomer. Yeah, but according to Rav Yitzchak and Ula, the Kav HaChomer is starting from Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. You can't do that. So the Gemara is having a difficult time accepting Ula and Rav Yitzchak that the source of Mila overriding Shabbos is based on Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. We are now up to our second attempt. Elam Rabbi Elazar, Asya Os Os. So the Gemara says it's Xerah Shava. We have the word Os mentioned by Shabbos. Ki Os He. We have the word Os mentioned by Bris Mila. Vayela Os Bris. So you have the word Os mentioned in both. It's Xerah Shava. And that Xerah Shava tells me that the mitzvah of Mila is going to be overriding the Shabbos. Elam Yata Tilim Dechsiv Behu Os Litche Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay. But we also have other mitzvahs in the Torah that are also have the word os to describe it, notably tefillin. So ela asya bris bris gadol. So the Gemara says, okay, we're gonna take the gzeirah shavat in a different location, and it is strange. It's interesting, and Rashi makes this note. The Gemara just seems to be jumping from one gzeirah shavat to another, meaning the word os is not a good gzeirah shavat, so we'll go to the word bris. How we jumping? So Rashi points out over here, it must be that there was no Mesorah for the Gzeirah Shavah of Os. And Rashi reminds us, Rashi says this throughout Shas, that Ein Adam Dan Gzeirah Shavah Me'atzma Ela Im Ken Kibel Mirabo. You can't make a Gzeirah Shavah on your own. You have to accept it from your Rebbe. And so, okay, but it's still a little bit challenging. So then why did the Gemara start there if the Gemara didn't have a Mesorah? Okay, anyway. So the Gemara says, let's go Bris. Ela Asya Bris Bris Gadol. Now the Gemara calls describes over here the bris of a gadol. When we talk about a bris, we're going to be discussing this morning the bris of an 8-day old. We'll call that a bris katan. The bris of a 13-year-old, that's a bris gadol, meaning he's now bar mitzvah. He for whatever reasons he didn't get a bris up until that point in time. Obviously he should have, but he didn't. And then there's also something called a beinoni, which we'll see a little bit later on. Okay, we'll see all these terms over the course of today's daf. Now, when it comes to the gadol, so the Torah uses the word bris to describe it. So and this is now an established gezeirah shava. Rashi points out over here, arel zachar asher lo yimal es brisi afar. So that's talking about a gadol. Rashi says, of course, it's talking about a gadol because the Torah there introduces us to the punishment of kares. An 8-day old or a 7-year old is not going to get kares. It's talking about an adult. And by Shabbos, obviously, we have the word bris. So the Gemara says, now that we have the word bris by both, dechse be bris, litche Shabbos. So that's how we know that the mitzvah meal is going to be overriding the Shabbos based on the gzera shavah. So, gadol dechse be bris, litche Shabbos. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that only limits us to a gadol. So, ela asya dora doros. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to try another gzera shavah, which is doros doros. We have the word doros by Shabbos. We have it by bris. So the Gemara now is going to give us our third Gzeirah Shavah. So Tzitzit Doros L'Tchei Shabbos. The Gemara says, okay, but we also have the word Doros as it relates to the Mitzvah Tzitzis. And so that means the Mitzvah Tzitzis should override Shabbos, but we know that's not correct. So Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak Dan in Os Bris V'Doros May Os Bris V'Doros. So the Gemara says, really, what we have over here is a compound Gzeirah Shavah by Shabbos and by Mila. I have three words of commonality. I have the word os, and I have the word bris, and I have the word doros. And lafuki hanach dechad chad hu dechsiv behun. As opposed to the others where it's only connected on one point, these are connected on three points, and so therefore this gzeirah shavah is telling us that the mitzvah of mila is overriding the Shabbos. That is approach number two. Approach number three. Rav Yochanan amar amakra bayom, bayom afil b'shabbos. Beginning of Parshas Tazria, when the Torah introduces us to the mitzvah of Mila, so the Torah says, Uva Yom Hashmini, and on the eighth day. So Bayom, and that means whatever that day is, even if that Yom is Shabbos, still you're going to be doing the bris. So Amar Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan Le'Me'ata Mechusrei Kapar Dechsiv Bu Bayom Hachinami Dedachu Shabbos. So the Gemara says, really? So when the Torah uses the words Bayom, so you're telling me that that is the Torah's instruction, that you're doing it today, regardless of what today is. And so that means to say that, let's say, for example, Mechusrei Kapara, somebody who has to bring his karbanos because he concluded his state of Tahara, meaning for many people, not many, for four people who are Tamei, so the halacha is that they go through a Tahara process, And yet, on the eighth day of the Tahara process, meaning 7 days of Tahara, and on the eighth day, they must bring a carbon. The carbon is referred to as mechusra kapara, because that person is not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash, nor eat karbanos, until they bring their karbanos on the eighth day. Now, let's say the eighth day happens to be Shabbos. So are they now supposed to bring those karbanos on Shabbos? Now, the answer is going to be no. But the Gemara's question is, wait one second. You're telling me that every time the Torah uses the words Bayom, that's instruction that needs to be done on Shabbos. We just saw that by the mitzvah of Milah. That's the drush of Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, so now, let's take that same logic, that same application, and apply it now to Mechusrei Kapara. And the Gemara says, and you know, it's not correct. That's not the accepted halacha. So the Gemara says, no. Hahu mi baile bayom velo belaila. So the Gemara says, no. Over there by the Mechusra Kapara. So the Bayom over there is telling me that he must bring the Karbanos on the day, on the eighth day, as opposed to the evening of the eighth day. So the Gemara says, Hainami mi baile bayom velo belaila. Well, with the mitzvah of Mila, it's the same thing is true. The mitzvah of Mila has to be done during the day, not the night prior. And we should learn that from the word Bayom. Hahumi ben shmanas yamim nafka. Now the Gemara says, no, we already know that by the mitzvah of Mila. The Torah already told us that it's the ben shmanas yamim. He must be 8 days old, meaning he must arrive at the eighth day. So we already know that by the mitzvah of Mila, therefore the yom is coming to tell me that it overrides the Shabbos. So hainami bi yom tzavasar nafka. The Gemara says, okay, but let's go back to karbanos. By mechusar kapara. How do I know that the mechusar kapara brings his carbon during the day? I already have a pasuk, yom tzavaso. Yom tzavaso is the general instruction that one has to bring karbanos during the day, not at night. So I already knew that the mechusar kapara has to bring his carbon during the day. So what does it mean now when the Torah says that he brings it by yom hashmini, he brings his karbanos on the eighth day, must mean even to override the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no. Afagav denafka mi b'yom tzavaso itzrich. The Gemara says, no. When it comes to the karbanos and mechusrei kapara, the Torah has to say it and say it again. The Torah has to say that he brings on the eighth day, and the Torah also has to remind us he has to bring on the eighth day. Why? Because the Gemara says, look, when it comes to the carbon brought by the Mechusra Kapara, let's say a Mitzora, who is going through his Tahara process, and now he's going to be bringing his carbonos on the eighth day. So there is a unique feature regarding the carbon of Mechusra Kapara, and that is that he is given an adjustment based on his financials. If the person is in a state of poverty, so then the carbon gets adjusted. Now, this is something unusual and does not happen in other areas of halacha. So the Gemara says that once we see that the carbon of the Mechusar Kapara is something which is adjustable financially, so we see now that vis-a-vis karbanos, it so to say breaks the rules. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is, once we see it's a rule breaker, so maybe it breaks other rules as well. Maybe now this karbon doesn't follow the rules of other karbanos. Maybe bring it at night. That's what the Gemara suggests. And that's why the Torah has to reinforce and say the word Bayom again to remind us that, yes, this karbon is somewhat unconventional, but that's only in one area of halacha. That's only in terms of the adjustment. But in terms of other areas of halacha, it follows the regular rules of a karbon. So the Gemara says, okay, but once we see it's a rule breaker, so the Gemara says, so let the Mechusra Kapara Karban break other rules as well. A non-Kohen can bring it, a Kohen who's an Onen can bring it. So the Gemara says, Ha Ahadre Kra. The Gemara says, no, that's exactly the point of the second Bayom. The second Bayom is to tell us that we're going to re-invite it back to the regular rules of Karban. Tosus points out over here, fourth Tosus on the Amud. This is what's called Davar Sheyatzam in a Klal, Lidom B'Davar Chadash. So of the we already spoke this morning about the Yud Gimel Midah Shatarni Dreshes Mehem. This is one of the ones that is infrequently used throughout Shas. But over here, here's an example where the Torah gives us a halachic model. Then the Torah says, oh, but there's something novel about this, right? Mechusra Kapara. There's something novel about the Mechusra Kapara, i.e., the karmen gets adjusted. Oh, so this is the Davar Chadash. So, the Lasui Bedalus, I'm reading Tosfos. She'i ata yochol achzir lechlala lepsul lina v'onein ad she'achzirena akasav lechlala beferish. And the idea is that once the Torah tells us something novel about this halacha, it means now that this is a novel halacha and this doesn't normally fall under the general patterns of the broader category in which it's in, unless the Torah brings it back in. Once the Torah brings it back in, so then all we're going to say is we have the novelty, but vis-a-vis all the other areas of the halacha, it follows the category in which it's in. So here, by the carbon of the Mechusar Kapara, so the Torah tells us a chiddush, adjustment financially. But then the Torah then says, Bayom, that is bringing it back into the klal of Karbanos, and therefore it has to fall under all the halachas of Karbanos. What do we have over here? The drush of Rav Yochanan. How do I know the mitzvah of Mila is overriding the Shabbos? Answer, the word Bayom. We have now one more drush to go through, and that's Rav Acha. Rav Acha by Yaakov Amar Makram. Shmini, Shmini Afila B'Shabbos. Same pasuk, but not the word Bayom, but rather the word Shmini on the eighth day. And that means to say, even if the eighth day falls on Shabbos. So, Hai Shmini Mibayle Lamute Shvi. So the Gemara says, wait one second. The Torah, the reason why the Torah it tells us that it has to be on the eighth day is that the eighth day is opposed to the seventh day. Meaning, it's not there to teach us that Mila is overriding Shabbos. It's telling us which day, which is the first eligible day that you could do the Mila. So, Shmini Ben Shmona Yamim Nafka. What do you mean? We already have a pasuk that tells us which day to the Mila. It says, Ben Shmona Yamim. So the Gemara says, no, I need both psukim. Because I need, first of all, to tell us when's the first eligible day. And I also need the Torah to tell us that it needs specifically to be on the eighth day as opposed to the ninth day. Meaning, if I only had one drasha, I could have easily said, okay, once we're at the eighth day, now we have the mitzvah of Mila. Which day should you do it? Eighth day, ninth day. Meaning, just not before the eighth day. The second drasha is coming to tell us that there is significance to the eighth day, meaning you should be doing it specifically on the eighth day as opposed to the ninth day. The Gemara just spells this out. Because if I only had one, I would have said, I would have made the argument that from the eighth day and onward, that's just simply the Zman. So I need the double, the repetition of the word Shmini to tell me eight and not seven. I also need the second Shmini to tell me eight is better than nine. A Mila Bizmana has qualitatively a better Mila than the Mila that's done on the ninth day and onward. So the Gemara says, Ala Machvata Kud Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, of the drushas that we went through, and we just covered now four possible drushas in terms of how the mitzvah of Mila is overriding the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan is Machvata. It seems to be the clearest presentation of the source of the mitzvah of Mila. Tanya Kavah says to Rav Yochanan, the Gemara cites a Braisa supporting Rav Yochanan, Udaloka Rav Acha by Yaakov, and not Rav Acha by Yaakov, because the Braisa says, Shmini, Yimol Afil B'Shabbos. So the Braisa starts off by saying, what's the source that the mitzvah of Mila is overriding the Shabbos? The word Shmini. That was Rav Acha by Yaakov. But watch what happens now in the Braisa. Umani Mekai Mechal Lemos Yumas B'Shar Malachos Chutz Mimila. Aye, what about the fact that it's Shabbos? Okay, so that means that you're observing Shabbos in every other aspect except for the mitzvah of Mila. Oh, Eino Allah Fila Mila, or maybe no. Maybe Shmir Shabbos includes Mila, meaning we don't do the Mila. Omani Mekayim Shmini Yimol Chutz Mishabbos. And the fact that the Torah says that you do the Mila on the eighth day, yeah, the eighth day falls out on any other day of the week, but not Shabbos. Tamalam Rabayom, Afil B'Shabbos. And then where does the Braisa land? The Braisa says we have the word Bayom, which means that it's done even on Shabbos. So, the Braisa was a little bit of a roller coaster. The Braisa first started off by trying to darshan the word Shmini, to tell me that the mitzvah of Mila is overriding the Shabbos. The Braisa then says, oh, maybe Shabbos is more important than Mila. So then the Braisa says, oh, but we have the word Bayom, which means that Mila is overriding Shabbos. Okay. And so, what just happened in the Braisa over here? Now, before we follow up with this question, but the point the Gemara brought the Braisa is that where did the Braisa land on? What is the source in the Torah that tells us that the mitzvah of Mila is overriding Shabbos? It's coming from the word Bayom, which is a support for Rav Yochanan, and clearly giving up on the idea of Shmini, which was the source according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Good. Now the follow-up question. What happened in the Braisa? How did the Braisa go from Mila overriding Shabbos to then step two, Shabbos overriding Mila, and then at the end, step three, a drasha? But where do we go from point one to point two? So the Gemara now is going to fill in the details. Amar Rava, Haitanami Kara Mai Kanichale, Uvasof Mai Kakashale. So what happens, says Rava, in this Braisa? So Hachi Kamar, so Rava gives the following explanation of the Braisa. Shmini Yimol Afilu B'Shabbos. So as far as the eighth day is concerned, you're going to do the Mila even on Shabbos. Umani Mekai Mechala Mosi Mas B'Shar Malachos Chutz Mimila Ava Mila Hi Dachyam. Okay, good. So we just went over the first part of the Braisa. Now Rabbi gives his explanation. My taima, kavachomerhu. Now the Braisa's opening assumption is that, look, let's think about this argument. Let's think about this from a Kal V'chomer standpoint, from a logical standpoint. And that is that basically what we're going to do is we're going to create an equation. But instead of an equal sign, we're going to use a greater than sign. Meaning, and I'll say it outside first so that you can just hear it outside and then we'll read it inside. We have the mitzvah of, or I should say better, rather the prohibition of tzaras. Meaning that if a kohen has any tzaras on his skin, he's going to be banned and barred from doing the avodah. And what he cannot do is he cannot cut off the nega tzaras. He cannot cut off the, you know, what we misinterpret as the leprous spot. Okay. Now, we know that the kohen, even though he has tzaras, cannot do the avodah. Okay. So, tzaras is greater than avodah. Now, we also know that if it's a question of avodah and Shabbos, so does the avodah in general of the Beit HaMikdash override the Shabbos? The answer, of course, is yes. Now, that yes is not an absolute. Many parts of the avodah that you don't do, but any avodah sayom, any avodah of the day of Shabbos is going to be overriding Shabbos. So, in our equation, tzaras is greater than avodah, and avodah is greater than Shabbos. Now, where does Mila stand vis-a-vis tzaras? As we're going to learn on the Amud Beis of today's daf, Mila is going to be overriding tzaras. So now, we have just created our totem pole. On the top of it, we have the mitzvah of Mila, which is greater than tzaras, which is greater than avodah, which is greater than Shabbos. So now, in this argument that we just constructed, so then, even without a drasha, it seems to be pretty clear, the mitzvah of Mila, which is above tzaras, which is above avodah, is going to certainly be above Shabbos, which is on this totem pole, on the bottom of the totem pole. And the Gemara now makes exactly this point. We're going to read it now inside the Gemara. Umatza Rosh Hadochas Avodah, as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis. V'avodah dochas v'Shabbos, Mila dochas, Shabbos shenitches mimnei avodah, eino din shetei Mila dochas. So the Gemara says that's the starting point of the Braisa, that we have Mila above Tzaras, above Avodah, which is above Shabbos. And so, the argument over here is actually pretty straightforward. If Avodah is going to be overriding Shabbos, which it does, and Tzaras is going to be overriding Avodah, which it does, and Mila, which is overriding Tzaras, which it does, so then for sure Mila should be overriding the Shabbos. That's the starting point of the Braisa. That's what the Braisa thought originally, and the Braisa didn't even need a drasha. Now, I'll just add over here parenthetically, it's a little bit difficult to read that in the Braisa, because the Braisa actually sounds like it's opening up with a drasha. Shmini Yimol Afilu B'Shabbos. But Rava's understanding is that that's not the reason behind the Braisa. Okay, anyway, close parentheses. So, Umay O'eno Dekamar. Now, what's the next step of the Braisa? Because the Braisa clearly attacks this argument. What's the attack of the argument? And now again, this is Rava's explanation. O'eno Dekamar Hadar Marmi Maite Saras Chamura. So the Gemara says, well, maybe I was working with a false assumption. And that is that, well, you can't, the Kohen can't cut off its tzaras in order to do the avoda. Dilma Shabbos Chamura, Shekein Yesh Ba'un Shem Vazaras. Maybe I'm wrong about that assertion. Maybe Shabbos is really more stringent than that of tzaras. Unshem Vazaras Harbe. Umimayim Yishem Dechamira Tzaras Hi. And it really has nothing to do, it's not a reflection of the fact that tzaras is more chamur, but Dilma Mishum Gavar Hu Delochazi. It just happens to be that the Kohen has tzaras is just simply he's disqualified. Meaning, for him to do the avoda is a non-starter. Not because tzaras is greater than the avoda. It's just simply because right now he's DQ'd. He's disqualified from doing the avoda. And so it is not a referendum on which of the two are more significant than the other. It just happens to be that right now this kohen is not available to do the avoda. Umani mekayim shmini yimol chutz mishabbos. And now, in terms of the mitzvah of Mila's concern, so now our argument has fallen apart. Tzaras is not proven to be greater than that of Tzaras is not proven to be greater than avoda. Our entire totem pole now deconstructs. And so now, I would say, okay. So we have no longer an indication of whether or not the mitzvah of Mila should be overriding the Shabbos. So maybe I would say Mila is not overriding the Shabbos. That's the second part of the Braisa. And then, Tamalam Rabbi Yom HaFilu B'Shabbos. And then the third part of the Braisa is, okay, we have a drasha. Meaning, part one and two is trying to argue it through a Kal V'Chomer. Part one is the creation of the Kal V'Chomer. Part two is the deconstruction of the Kal V'Chomer. So now I no longer have a Kal V'Chomer, so we have a drasha. That is the way the Braisa presents itself, as explained by Rava. Gemara continues now, Tana Rabbanan. So we are now on Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, about a quarter of the way down. And now we're going to be moving on to our second part of the daf, and that is the mitzvah of Milah and Tzaras. The mitzvah of Tzaras is really the Isser of Tzaras, is that if a person has a nega Tzaras on his skin, so he has to go to the Kohen, he shows it to the Kohen, Kohen will diagnose whether it's Tzaras, whether it's not Tzaras, he goes to the Tahara process. The part that we need to focus on this morning is that once you have Tzaras on your skin, you cannot cut off that spot. Hishamer b'nega tzaras. The Torah says that one is prohibited. The word hishamer is alav. It's one of the words that are used to describe alav. The words pen, al, lo, hishamer, those are all the lashonos of lavin. And so therefore, the Torah, when it says hishamer b'nega tzaras, what the Torah is telling us is that one is not allowed to cut off the tzaras. And so now, the Gemara is going to be discussing the following in today's Amud Beis. And that is, what if the baby presents itself on day 8, with nega tzaras on the makom milah? So now, once again, we have a clash. On one hand, the mitzvah milah says that you should cut it. On the other hand, the tzaras tells me don't cut it. So which is going to override what? Which? So that is going to be our discussion. And if this discussion sounds familiar, you're probably thinking right now, isn't this a discussion of esse docha lo sase? So stay tuned, because the answer is going to be yes, but not yet. Tana rabbana milah docha tzaras bein bezmana bein shelo bezmana. So here we open up with a brisa. The mitzvah milah is going to be over on tzaras, and whether that's done bizman or afilu shelo bizman, meaning if it's day 8, if it's day 9, it doesn't matter what kind of milah that's being done. Milah is good as long as you're doing the mitzvah of milah. It's over on tzaras. Yom tov in adoch elav bizman abavad. But as far as yontov is concerned, so the mitzvah milah is only going to override yontov, but only milah bizmana. Now, by the way, when the brisa says yontov, of course also includes Shabbos as well. It's just highlighting that not only is that true by Shabbos, it's also true by Yontov as well, that only Mila Bezmana is going to be overriding Yontov, not Mila Shelo Bezmana. Menahani Mila Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara here is going to be focusing on the Tzaras for the remainder of today's daf. Yimol Basar Lasov Afil B'Yishyesh Behem Isham Baharis. Yikots. And so here now in this Brisa, so here we're going to go basically like we did on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we're going to go a little bit back and forth. We start in the brisa saying that you do the mitzvah of milah, and v'afapishi yesh ba'isham beheresi kots, and even if there's tzaras on the makom milah, still you cut it off. Umani mekayim mishamer benegat tzaras. The Torah says you're not allowed to cut off a tzaras spot. Bishar mekamos chutz mimila. Yeah, that's talking about any other part of the body. But if the tzaras turns out to be on the makom milah, you cut it off. Oh, eino alafila milah umani mekayim yimol b'sar lasop bezman she'ein ba'heres. Or the brisa then does a flip flop. The brisa says maybe not. Maybe there's a time to do a mitzvah of milah, and maybe there's a time not to do the mitzvah of milah. Notably, if there's tzaras on the makom milah, okay, so then we'll just simply abstain from doing the mitzvah of milah. Why? Because it's a lav, because it's an iser. Tamalamar bisar afapish yesh sham baharis. And so where does the brisa end up with? A drasha, which is basar. You cut off the flesh, even though there's tzaras right there. And so what we have over here, very similar to what we had in the Amud Aleph, is that we have a brisa that first makes an assertion that, of course, milah is overriding tzaras, then says, maybe not, maybe tzaras is overriding milah, and then the brisa concludes, we have a drasha. And so, just like on the Amud Aleph, along comes Rav to explain what happened over here. What happened in the brisa where the brisa went one way, then went the other direction, and then landed on a drasha. Amar Rav, haitan mikara, my nichalei levesof, my kakashilei, hachi kamar. So now this is Rav's explanation of what happened, what was the behind the scenes in the brisa. So step number one, yimol basar lasov afa pishesh baheres. So you do the mila, even though it had tzaras, umane mekayim, mishamer benegat tzaras, b'shamer kamos chutz mimila, ava mila dochas tzaras. Good. Just we're restating the first part of the brisa, my taima. The asim mekava chomer. So now, same like we did in the Amud Aleph. What was going on behind the brisa? The brisa was operating with a kava chomer. It was trying to construct the argument logically. Because let's start off with the fact that you know how significant Mila is? It overrides Shabbos. If Mila is overriding Shabbos, so of course it's going to override Tzaras. Tzaras lo kol shekein. The Gemara's assumption is that Shabbos is on a higher threshold than that of Tzaras. Shabbos has with it the punishment of Kares. Shabbos has with it, if done intentionally with witnesses and warning, it has Skila. So the Gemara assumes, look, if Mila can override Shabbos, so of course it can override Tzaras. That's the opening argument of the Braisa, as explained by Rava. Umay o'inu dekamar. Now, why did the Braisa then back away from there? Hadekamar mimay de Shabbos chamiri dil matzaras chamiri. Shegin doches avoda v'avoda doches haShabbos. Then what happened in the Braisa is that the Braisa reconsidered. Because the Braisa says, ooh, kavachomer. He says, you know, I can also make another kavachomer. You know that Saras is overriding the Avoda. And the Avoda overrides the Shabbos, like we said on the Amud Aleph. Again, we vacillated on this argument, but at least we made the argument, and the Gemara now says, look, we can make the argument again. And if that's true, so what does that tell us? It suggests that Saras is even greater than that of Shabbos. So just because Mila is overriding Shabbos doesn't necessarily mean that Mila is going to be overriding Saras. Okay, so now, if it's a Kal v'chomer argument, we can go in one of two directions. We can either say that Mila should override Saras, that was step one, or we could say no, maybe Saras is greater than Mila, and so that Mila should not be overriding Saras. Oh, okay. So Tam Alamar Bisar v'afa pishisham beheres. So the Kal v'chomer didn't get us there, so what in fact now is going to get us there? It's going to be a drasha, meaning once we have a drasha, that's it. It's no longer based on logic, it's simply a drasha. That is the way the Braisa is presented according to Rava. Now, that is one way to say over the Braisa, Lishna Achrina. Now, what the Gemara is going to do is the following, and that is that in the second version, so Rava now is going to do the same thing. He's going to explain the Braisa, but over here, it's not going to be based on a Kal v'chomer argument, it's going to be based on the issue of Esei Docha Lo Saseh. So we're going to do now the same thing. This is going to be round two of explaining the Braisa according to Rava, but on the merits of the principle of Esei Docha Lo Saseh. So we start now, step number one. Mila Docha Tzatzaras Maitama, Esei V'Docha Lo Saseh. Ah, so now in the first step of the Braisa, where the Braisa thought that of course Mila is overriding Tzaras. Why? Because we have a principle that when I have a positive commandment and when I have a negative prohibition and the two are at clash with one another, so then Esei Docha Lo Saseh, the positive commandment is overriding the negative prohibition. We'll speak a little bit more about this in greater detail in tomorrow's daf. Right now, it is an assumption, the Gemara makes throughout Shas, principal area where it's discussed in the beginning of Masechta Yevamos, but here, right here in the 19th paragraph of Shabbos, so we're going to be discussing it in some detail. Good. So that's where the Braisa opens up. So, umay o'eino dekamar, so the Gemara says, okay, so if that's the starting point of the Braisa, so then it begs the question. So where's the other side of the argument? How does the Braisa then move to the transition over to the other side, which is maybe not? So the Gemara says, hada kamar. Yes, it's true. It is a tenet that a positive commandment is overriding a negative prohibition, but that's only when it is a straightforward mitzvah saseh and a straightforward lo saseh. Hi, but as far as hishamer benega atzaras, esei velo saseh hu. The hishamer benega atzaras is actually compound. It's actually made up of both a negative prohibition, which we've already gone over, hishamer benega atzaras. Also, Rashi points out over here, Kol Asher Yoru, everything that is instructed to you by the Kohanim, that you must do. That's a positive commandment. And so therefore, the cutting off of the Saras really is compounded. It is an essay in Lo Saseh. And you do not have the essay of Mila being able to override something which is not a lav in of itself, but it's a lav and an essay. That's why the Braisa says, this argument of Esei Docha Lo Saseh may not be able to apply it over here. And so therefore now, given that we lost our argument of Esei Docha Lo Saseh, so what do we have? We end on, let me read that better. And that's why the Braisa then moved to the other side, which said, okay, so if there's a Ras there, so don't do the Mila. So Tam Alomer Bisar, Ba'af Apishishon Beheres. And then the Braisa ended off by saying, okay, now we have a drasha, meaning the Esei Docha Lo Saseh would have been a good argument, but the counter argument would be, this is not a simple Lo Saseh. It's a Lo Saseh coupled with an Aseh. And so therefore, we lost that argument. No longer are we going to argue on the merits of Esei Docha Lo Saseh, but rather what we're going to argue it in on is based on a drasha. Okay. What we have so far now is a discussion in the Gemara, a clear conclusion. The mitzvah of Mila is going to be overriding Saras. It just happens to be, how did the Braisa arrive at that conclusion? That also is very clear. It arrives through it as a drasha. What was the back and forth in the Braisa? So Rava gave us two versions. The Gemara gives us two versions of what the back and forth was. And according to version number one, It was a back and forth in Kal V'chomer. According to version number two, it's a back and forth in Esei Docha Lo Saseh. Tenach Gadol Dichsiv Behu Basar. So the Gemara says, okay, but even on the conclusion that we now have a drasha. So the Gemara says, the drasha is based on the word basar. Where is basar used by the mitzvah of milah? So by an adult, so we have the word basar. Rashi quotes, I'm quoting the Rashi, Tenach Gadol. Rashi says, Bar Onshin Dichsiv Be Basar Arel Zachar Asher Lo Yimal Es Besar Ar Laso. So we have the word basar as it relates to an adult. Now that's talking about an adult because it's a bar onshin, because it's talking about punishment. The word karis is used over there. Now, and going back to the Gemara, katanamiksi be basar. Now, as far as a katan, katan over here means an 8-day-old. The Torah also uses the word basar. At the end of that Rashi quotes the pasuk, uvi yomash mini yomol basar laso. So you see the word basar is used for an 8-day-old. So we have the word basar by an adult, anyone 13 years in age and above. We have the word basar by an 8-day-old. Beinoni minala. How do I know that this halacha would also apply to anyone between the ages of 8 days of age and 13 years old? This is what's called the beinoni, meaning the only allowance for the mitzvah of milah to override tzaras is based on the drasha. But we only have the drasha of the three different types of milah that we're discussing. We only have the word basar by two of the three, only by katan and only by gadol. The beinoni is not covered. So how do I know that it's covered? Amar Abaye, asi mi beini. So Abaye says, look, it's covered basically by being sandwiched between the two. Migadol lo asir shekein anosh kares. So look, I can't learn it from the gadol in of itself because the gadol has with it the punishment. Migadol lo asir shekein mila bezmana. I can't learn it from the katan because, as we discussed this morning, the qualitative difference between doing a mila bezmana is greater than that of doing it after 8 days of age. So hatzad hashavah shemem shekein nimolim bedochen esetzaras av kol shenimolim dochen esetzaras. So Abaye says, but we're going to use now what's called a mem atzinu. Look, we're going to take the common denominator of the two, and that is that the mitzvah of milah is done, and it's going to be overriding saras, and we're going to apply it now to our middle stage of anyone between 8 days of age and 13 years old, where the mitzvah of milah is going to be overriding the saras. That is Abaye's understanding. Rava amar milah mezmana docha lo tzricha kra. So Rava says, look, milah mezmana, the fact that the mitzvah of milah is overriding saras, I didn't even need a pasuk for that. Bekavachomer asya, I would have learned it based on a kavachomer. Mashabes dechamir docha saras lo kol shekein, and we go back to an argument which I know Rava earlier this morning vacillated on this argument, but right now the Gemara is Rava is clearly showing us that he favors this argument, and that is that look, if the mitzvah of milah is overriding Shabbos, of course it's going to be overriding saras. So now that we have this kavachomer argument, I don't need a drasha. And once I no longer need a drasha for it, so now I can take the drasha and apply it to our beinoni. So I'm le Rav Safra le Rava mi mai de Shabbos chamir dilma saras chamir shekin doches avoda va'avoda doches haShabbos. And now the back and forth that we saw earlier this morning, and that is Rav Safra says to Rava, look, your argument, I don't know if your argument is good, because remember our totem pole this morning, where we had on the top of the totem pole saras. Below saras was avoda. Below avoda was Shabbos. I don't know if you're right. I don't know if Shabbos is more chumer than saras. Saras could be more chumer than Shabbos. So, and Rava's counter argument, hasam la mishum de chamir et saras, ela mishum de gavrahu de lo chaza. And Rava's counter argument is, no, that's not a totem pole. That doesn't reflect which is greater than what. The reason why the Metzora Kohen is not doing the Avoda is not because Saras is greater than Avoda, like we already said earlier this morning. It's because he's just simply DQ'd. He's disqualified from doing the Avoda. So the Gemara says, really, he's disqualified? Amai, be coach barto, v'yavor. So the Gemara says, why is he disqualified? Meaning, let him cut off the meal, let him cut off the Saras, and let him do the Avoda. So the Gemara says, no, mechusar tvilahu. The Gemara says, no, he's DQ'd because that's not going to help. Even if he cut off the saras, he's still going to be tamei until the remainder of the day. He needs to tovel the mikvah. He needs harav shemesh. He's DQ'd for the remainder of the day. So the Gemara says, tenech negayim tameim negayim taharim ma'ikal ameimar. So the Gemara says, that's true, but not by every saras. There is saras that is tamei, and there's nega tahor. There are saras that manifest that are, in fact, tahor. Still cannot do the avoda with the saras, but they are Tzara's Tara. Rashi over here gives a couple of examples. So there, you're not DQ'd. So, Ela Amar Rav Ashi. So the Gemara says, so what we're going to suggest now is the following. Because at this point in time now, it could very well be that Rava's argument maybe doesn't stand. So the Gemara says, Ela Maravashi Hechamin and Dasi Esev Dochalo Sase, Kagon Mila Bitsaras, Inamitsis Uklaim, Dibi Idna Dimit Akar Lav, Kamuke Ase. So the Gemara says, look, when do we say that the Esev Dochalo Sase? That's like the mitzvah of Mila and Saras. That's like Tzitzis and Klaim. Where you have concurrence, where they are being done at the same time, that when you're violating the lav, you're also fulfilling the mitzvah to say, Hacha be'idna demit akir lalav, lo kamekem asay. Over here, when you're violating the lav, when you're cutting off the saras, you're not right now doing the avoda. You're only doing the avoda subsequently. So you can't use this argument to say, oh, just simply cut off the saras, because there's no allowance to cut off the saras right now. You only can do it while you're presently doing the mitzvah, but over here, you're not presently doing the mitzvah of avoda. And so, once again, it is not a reflection of the chumra of saras. It's just simply a reflection of there's no allowance to go ahead and to cut off the saras. What we have now in the Gemara over here is the basic machlokus between Rabba and Rav Safra, how we know that the mitzvah of Mila is overriding saras in all examples. We have three different examples of Mila. Mila's Katan, 8 day old, Mila's Gadol, 13 years and above, and the Beinoni, and the one in between. And what we have over here, we all are in agreement to the conclusion in that the mitzvah of Mila is overriding the saras. It's just a question of how we arrive at that point. The Braisa concludes that we learn it from the word basar. But as the Gemara notes, the word basar is only used by the Katan, and it's only going to be used by the Gadol. How do I know about the Beinoni? And we have basically two ways to present this halakha. One was Rav Safra, and that is that we're going to be using it tzad shava, using the common denominator between the two. And we have Rava's argument, which is, I didn't need a drasha for the katan, because I based that on the kavachomer. I already know that the mitzvah of Mila is overriding saras based on the kavachomer. If it overrides Shabbos, it for sure is going to be overriding saras. And so now, the only thing left on the table, really, in this discussion is, are we accepting Rava? Are we accepting Rav Safra? And this we're going to conclude as we turn to the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel. Amud Aleph, I'll just read the last words of the bottom of the Amud. V'had the Rava v'Rav Safra, Tanaihi. This issue is a machlokes Tanaim d'Tanya. As we now are on the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph. Basar af apishyish sham baharis yimol divrei Rabbi Yoshia. That even though there's you do the mitzvah of Mila, even though there's a baharis, you're still going to do the Mila. That is the drasha of Rav Yoshe. Rav Yosef Yonasan Amar Ein Tzarech Shabbos Chamura Docha Tzaras Lo Kol Shekein. And Rav Yonasan says, I don't need a drasha. If the mitzvah of Mila is overriding Shabbos, of course it's going to be overriding Tzaras. So what we see in this brisa is that this debate between Rav Safra and Rava is really an older debate amongst Tanayim in terms of how do I know that the mitzvah of Mila is overriding Tzaras? Is it a drasha? That was the shita of Rav Yoshe. And then echoed later by the Amora Rav Safra, or is it going to be based on a Kavachomer, which is the Shita of Rav Yonasan, echoed later by the Amora Rava? Let us recap our morning. This morning we opened up, we first finished off the drushas of Rabbi Eliezer, that Machshirei Mitzvah Doches HaShabbos. As a continuum of yesterday's daf, we went through the mitzvahs of Lulav, Sukkah, Matzah, Shofar, and also Shtei Alechem and the Omer. So we added on to that list also Machshirei Mila. What is the source according to Rabbi Eliezer? That Machshirei Mila is Doches HaShabbos. So it's based on the drasha of Uvayom Hashmini Imo Basar Laso. And that is even the Machshirin. As Rashi points out, where does he know that the Mila itself is overriding? So that, according to Rashi, was Allah Moshe Mitzinai. Good. That was all step number one. All right, then as we turn to the top of Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara for the entirety of the Amud Aleph goes through the various sources that the mitzvah of Mila itself is overriding Shabbos. How do I know that? And the Gemara gave us four approaches. Approach number one, Halach L'Moshe Mitzinai, that was the approach of Ulan Rav Yitzchak. Approach number two, Gzeirah Shava. That was the approach of Rabbi Elazar, the Amora. Approach number three, Rabbi Yochanan, it's based on the fact that the Torah says Bayom Afil B'Shabbos. Approach number four is the Shita of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. It comes from the word Shmini. The Gemara, fully, using a Braisa, fully endorses Rav Yochanan's Drasha. It comes from the word Bayom. The Braisa on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph vacillated in terms of whether or not the mitzvah of milah is overriding Shabbos. Brisa first starts saying yes, it does. Brisa then says no, it does not. Brisa concludes by yom like Rav Yochanan. What happened in that Brisa? Rava gave us the behind the scenes of what was the Brisa's original thought, what was the second thought, and then why did the Brisa end on a drasha. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, we went through the idea that milah is doche saras, and this milah is doche saras whether it's a milah bizmana, milah shelo bizmana. The only milah that's doche Shabbos is only a milah bizmana. Milah in terms of saras is doche even if it's a milah shelo bizmana. Here too, the Gemara gives us a drasha. The pasuk says yimol bisar arlaso. The word bisar tells me that whatever is on the flesh is going to get cut off, even if there's saras on the flesh. Again, same story with this halacha. The Brisa vacillated. Brisa started off by saying milah is overriding saras. Then the Brisa says no, it's not going to. And then the Brisa says yes, it will, based on a drasha. What happened in that Brisa? So same story in the Amud Beis. Rava gives us a behind the scenes behind that Brisa. Two versions according to Rava. One is that it was a question of how to learn a Kal v'chomer. First the Brisa thought one way, then the Brisa went in the other direction. And then the Brisa says, look, we don't know, therefore drasha. In version number two, it was a question of ese doche lo sase. First the Brisa says, of course milah is going to be doche tzaras, because an ese doche lo sase. Then the Brisa says, yeah, but this is not a simple lo sase. It is a compounded ese lo sase. So it's not so we can't use the argument of ese doche lo sase. In both versions, then of course we're going to end with a drasha. The drasha was basar, and the conclusion of today's daf was just simply a question of basar is only written regarding milas katan, an 8-day-old. Basar is only written regarding milas gadol, a 13-year-old. How do I know about the beinoni? So that was a question of how to get to the beinoni. Two approaches, Rav Safra and Rava. Rav Safra says mematzinu. Rava says, look, one of the drushas wasn't even necessary because we had a kal v'chomer for that. And so that allows us to shift the drusha over to the beinoni. Adka.